Thank you for listening to today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. For more information about our church and our ministry, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org. We pray that you were both blessed and encouraged by today's message.
Father, we glorify and magnify you this morning. We thank you for your presence. We thank you for your life. We thank you for your desire to be among us. We worship you this morning for who you are, not what you can do. But we know that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek you. So we ask you, Father, to be Father here today. We want to be your children. We want to be your sons, your daughters, who know the goodness of God. We thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
We commit this time to you. We ask you to lead us and guide us. Oh, God. Thank you, Father. Everyone, if you're comfortable, just repeat this after me. Father God, I open myself up, to you, to be my Father,
to be my God.
Change me.
Minister to me.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You may be seated in his presence. Thank you, team. Amen. Isn't it interesting to know that God needs permission to enter into our lives? So many times we get all wrapped up in the sovereignty of God and forget about the sovereignty he gave man. We were made in his image and we were given a sovereignty over our own lives. And as our sphere increases, over our sphere. So it's no small thing that we invite God in and we give him permission. He's always looking for your permission. Now that doesn't mean he doesn't move without your permission. But he has to move in a whole different way. Amen. And he's limited, if we can understand this, he's limited in what and how he can move. Well, we want to welcome everyone here. For those of you who don't know me, I'm Bob Puller. I used to pastor here at Living Waters, and we still attend here, still part of the leadership team, but we passed the baton to Dave and Sue, who are ministering at another church in southern Minnesota, in Caledonia. So, Father, bless them. Yeah. Amen. Do we have any visitors here that have never been here before? If you wouldn't mind just raising your hand. Welcome. Good to have you here. Some over here. You want to raise your hand again? Our ushers just have a little visitor's packet for you. Is there anyone else? It's good to have you here. Pastor Dave will be back next week. I encourage you to come back and meet the senior pastor. I'm a senior citizen. He's a senior pastor. Yeah. Amen. We got video announcements? All right. Let's do it.
This is a test of the sound system. This is only a test. Beep!
April treasure hunt. Coming up Tuesday, April 20th. Contact Roy. PM on the 1st and the 3rd. Next one to come, April 21st. Cool! Mercy Ministry will be meeting on Thursday, April 2nd at 7 p.m. Saturday, night fire. 6 p.m. Saturday, April 24th.
I'm gonna burn.
Guardian Angel Service. Sunday, April 25th. Worship Service. Being led by Living Waters. Volunteers needed. Contact Ryan Malley. Volunteers needed. Weekly cleaner.
Good job.
Event cleaner. Head of Housekeeping. If you're interested, contact Leslie Reiner. And remember to read your bulletin, because this one is hot.
No.
Amen. Got to have rhythm, I guess, to read your bulletin. Well, we want to dismiss the kids. Wait, whoa, come on up here. All the kids come up here. Just for a minute. I'm just going to bless you. You don't have to, you can stand up because you're not going to be here that long. Are you kids ready for class? Okay. Pray this after me. Father God.
Father God.
I give you permission.
I give you permission.
To plant.
To plant.
The incorruptible seed.
The incorruptible seed.
Of the gospel.
Of the gospel.
Inside of me.
In Jesus'
name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
Go. I was that age. I was in a Sunday school situation for a certain part of my childhood, and I didn't know there was an incorruptible seed being put within me until I tried to escape from what I had heard. And I realized there was something inside of me that had been put there and could not be corrupted, could not be messed with.
Amen.
How many of you found that to be true? How many of you in your early years got exposed to a gospel that you could not escape in your later years, no matter how hard you tried? And the reality is, we still have to come to a revelation of who Jesus Christ is for ourselves, beyond our Sunday school teachers, beyond our parents, beyond our grandmothers and grandfathers. But those years of having that seed sown in are powerful years and impacting years. It's alive. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not information, it is revelation.
Amen.
Are you going to class? Let's go. Amen. As many of you know, we have a conference coming up May 14th through the 16th. How many of you were here last fall when we had Kevin Dedman here? Well, coming up in May is him and his wife's son and his wife, Chad and Julia Dedman, and they're coming. Many of you may have heard way back when a story that was going around, which is true, that Chad was praying for people in the grocery store and people started getting healed, so he got on the intercom and said, God is healing people in aisle 7. God is healing people in aisle 7. In fact, we were at the grocery store where that took place, even though we didn't know it at the time. We just went there when we were in California to get food. But he is a very radical, he and his wife are a very radical young couple who are seeing some powerful things happening. And we're going to just show a portion of a clip of an interview with Sid Roth, with Chad. And this isn't all of it, but I think over the next few weeks we'll probably keep showing clips of it. We just want you to get a flavor of what we're in for.
My guest prayed for a man with no eyeballs. I know this is stretching you, but the eyeballs were formed instantly.
Can ancient secrets of the supernatural be rediscovered? Do angels exist? Is there life after death? Are healing miracles real? Can you get supernatural help from another dimension? Has the future been written in advance? Sid Roth has spent 30 years researching the strange world of the supernatural. Join Sid on this edition of It's Supernatural.
Hello, Sid Roth here. Welcome to my world, where it's naturally supernatural. My guest, Chad Dedman, perhaps you saw the show where I interviewed his father, Kevin. Well, Kevin says that he can mentor anyone into moving into the supernatural, and what better proof than his son, Chad? But Chad, as a pastor's kid, you didn't like that. You felt that life played a dirty trick on you, and you started rebelling.
Yeah, I felt like I was born, you know, into this lifestyle, and it wasn't really my decision. And so I had a real anger towards God and towards my parents, where I wanted a normal childhood, per se.
And why did you get into drugs?
I was angry. I wanted to make my own decisions, and I was tired of, you know, doing what everyone thought I should be doing, and I just went for it, and I started doing drugs, and I started liking it, and it took me on a real bad road.
But at night, when no one was there, and you were in your room, you actually could see things happening in the invisible world.
Yeah, that's probably the most demonic activity I've ever seen, where I would see demons, but even more, I would see Jesus in the corner of my bedroom just weeping. And there would be
Didn't that bother you?
For a moment, but then I was just like, no, this is what I'm doing. I'm making my own decisions. I was just in rebellion.
And then he said to you, he actually came and spoke to you, and he gave you a choice.
Yeah, he said, you can either be my best friend, or I'm going to hand you over to Satan. And I was like, oh my gosh, okay, I know that you are the only way, and I want you to be my best friend. And I know that that meant if I were to be handed over to Satan, that my covering and protection was going to be lifted, and Satan was basically going to kill me.
So what'd you do?
I said, Jesus, I want you to be my best friend. And he just began to just wrap his arms around me, and the love of God came into my heart, and all the addiction, all the desire for drugs totally left. It was amazing.
But what is even more amazing is he could have an experience like that, be in a home where his father's a pastor, but he got involved with a young woman, You were involved in things you should not have been involved in. Just what, 50?
Amen. The information, get on that site, is in your information. And again, Chad will be here with his wife Julie in May 14th through the 16th. And it's just going to be an awesome time with God. How many of you know it's not about Chad? It's about his God. But how many of you know God uses people to help us get a broader view of God? One of the things that is happening in our day, I believe, is that the Church of Jesus Christ is finding out that the good news is way gooder than we thought it was. And God is way bigger than we deemed him to be. So there is this real emphasis on the supernatural. There is this real desire. And sometimes, it's easier to stay where we are than to go where we're going. How many of you know that? It's much easier. In fact, we're in a time of transition as a church with our worship and with all kinds of things. And the reason is because we have made up our mind we're not staying where we are. We're going where we're going. And you cannot do what you've always done before and expect to get a different result. See, there has been a tendency in our mind that if we keep doing what we've always done before, sometime God will show up and give us a different result. That is not true. God has done what he is going to do. He did it at the cross. And you will not find a revival or a history of a revival where God all of a sudden just did something without the church all of a sudden just doing something first. Because it's never God's move, it's always our move. He moved at the cross and he's waiting for the church to move. And so we are purposing to move toward what God wants to do by changing what we've always done. Jesus said it this way. He said, from the time of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. What did John the Baptist have to do with anything? John the Baptist had everything to do with change. John the Baptist ushered in a whole, he opened the door from the old covenant to the new. John the Baptist said what, he was a prophet. Jesus said there's no greater prophet born among women than John the Baptist, yet you're greater than he, you who were born of the kingdom of God. But John the Baptist did this amazing thing that no one else had done. All the other prophets had said, it's coming someday. John the Baptist said, it's here. And one of the shifts that we're taking as a church, one of the moves that we're making as a church, is we are no longer saying, God, bring revival. We're beginning to behave ourselves like it's already here. We're already in revival. God is working. God is moving. And it's not about, say this with me. In fact, I still want to get t-shirts made up to say this. Revival is not a meeting. It's a lifestyle. See, and that's what we need to come to understand. It's not about a meeting or meetings. It's not even about these meetings in May. They will just help for something bigger and broader in our lives. But we need to know that revival is about developing a lifestyle of expectation of God to be God. So we're in the process, if you, whether you know it or not, we're in the process of having our minds renewed and being enlarged, and we're finding that God is way bigger than we thought he was. And we, you and I, are way more significant than we thought we were. Now, I realize I haven't opened the scripture yet because I don't know where we're going yet. I just could not get clarity this morning on what, you know, usually we know. But we need to understand Maybe we're just going to have a heart-to-heart talk today. I don't know. We need to understand that God is up to something significant, and it's way bigger than Living Waters Church. It's way bigger than Elk River, Minnesota, and surrounding region. It's way bigger than the United States. It's about the world. And this same hunger that is brewing in many in this region is brewing all around the world. The hunger for unity among churches that has brewed in this city for a number of years is brewing around the world. The desire for the gospel to go outside of the church walls and to be prominent in the streets and in the highways and the byways, that's happening all over the world. It's so exciting. Because, see, the revival that is coming is not about a revivalist standing up front with a microphone on. It's about you and I, the body of Christ, going about our lifestyle, everyday life, and carrying the presence and the life of Jesus Christ with us and impacting people around us one at a time. Not in a meeting, but just living our life. And the ministers of this revival is you. And I understand that that tends to freak us out. So guess what? We all get to do what we've never done before to get a different result. And guess what that takes? Faith. Just gut level faith of stepping out and going where we've never gone before. Can I ask you a personal question? You know I'm going to. Is the life that you're living with God, how can I say this? Can you live it without faith? I mean, have you got this thing of Christianity so nailed down and so that you just know how to do what you've always done, and really the reality is that you've become pretty good at it. Now, there was a time when it did take faith. But over the years, and some of you have been at this a lot of years, I can tell. You've gotten good at it. And it doesn't really, and I'm confronting you a little bit, does it really, really, really take faith anymore to live where you're living? I know it did once. That's not my question. My question isn't, did you get there by faith? I know you got there by faith. But isn't it a reality that if you live there long enough, it no longer takes faith? That which is hoped for, once you have it, takes no hope. That which once took faith to get there, once you've got it, it doesn't take faith anymore. And so the challenge for you and I always, always is to keep going where we've never been before. Where it does take faith. And where it's uncharted waters, where we're stepping out of the boat and walking on water. And many times we feel like when we talk about you being a minister out there or me being a minister out there, we feel like we can't do it. And you know why you feel like you can't do it? Because you can't. There's the faith. Hello. If you could do it, it wouldn't be faith. It would be performance. And many times we get out in that place of being uncomfortable and recognizing that we're way out of our comfort zone, and we assume there's something wrong with us, because if we were really a man of God or a woman of God, we wouldn't feel the feelings that we feel when we're out here. But I'm here to tell you, those feelings never go away. If they go away, you are no longer walking in faith. And if they go away, there's something wrong with you. If they're there, there's nothing wrong with you. You are a normal human being. See, that's what the Apostle Paul said. When I was among you, to the Corinthians, when I was among you, I was there with much fear and trembling. The seasoned man of God, and he's there with much fear and trembling. Why? Because he did not want to preach a word with the persuasive man's wisdom, but he wanted to minister in the Spirit's power, a demonstration of the Spirit's power. That's an amen. Let's open our Bibles to the Gospel of John in chapter 3. I think we want to focus today on who you are. Been wrestling all weekend whether to focus on who God is or who you are. Both is way bigger than we thought. Both is way more significant than we thought. Amen. And the part that we have to play in this unfolding scheme of things, you can call it revival, you can call it awakening, you can call it normal Christianity, you can call it anything you want, but it's really about the kingdom of God. If I was forced to put into one sentence, what is the shift that is going on and has been going on for some time, it is in the church, it is that the church has become less church-focused and more kingdom of God-focused. Jesus seldom mentioned the church. He mentioned the kingdom of God all the time. What is the kingdom of God? Will somebody please tell me what the kingdom of God is? The kingdom of God, it's really simple. It's the king's domain. That's what kingdom means, the king's domain. And so when we say that we are going to be kingdom focused rather than church focused, then we get more focused on kingdom growth than we do church growth. And that's a huge shift. Because then we don't really, well, we do care, but it's not so important what's happening in here as it is of what's happening out there. Because, see, this already is kingdom. And it will be kingdom till kingdom come. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is ground that has already been won, and you are ground that already has been won. You are under the king's domain. This is under the king's domain. The head of this is Jesus Christ. So when we talk about kingdom, we are talking about expanding the king's domain. It is the Father's good pleasure to give us the kingdom. What is the business we're about? Seeing the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and Savior. So every part of society, every part of life, remember, revival's a lifestyle, is coming under the king's domain. And guess who gets to help in the process? Remember when Peter had this awesome revelation of who Jesus Christ is? And Jesus is all excited, and he's excited because somebody, a humanoid, has gotten a download from the Heavenly Father for himself. That's what Jesus said. Flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I give to you the keys to the... Oh, they're not the keys to the church. Well, I've got keys to the church. No, they're the keys to the kingdom. And he goes on to say what they are, and I don't think I'm going to teach that, but it's binding and loosing. It's giving permission for things, and it's forbidding things. It's forbidding something here on earth that it might be forbidden in heaven. It's forbidding or permitting something here on earth that it might be permitted in heaven. And so the natural question is then, are we dictating to heaven? No, we're aligning with heaven. What did Jesus say? When you pray, say, "Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven." That's the will of God, on earth as it is in heaven. That's not an amen. And we have a role in bringing the kingdom. We have the keys to the kingdom. And whether we understand it or not, the most tremendous role that we have is our voice. Permitting things, forbidding things, declaring things, decreeing things. That is kingdom. When you go, he sent out the 70, he said, "Preach the kingdom." When he sent out the 12, he said, "Preach the kingdom." Everybody say, "Preach."
Preach.
How many preachers are in the room? We all are, but many of you don't feel like preachers because you absolutely refuse to be as weird as I am. Come on, let's be honest. You will never do some of the stuff I do in the process of preaching the gospel. And I'm here to tell you as a man of God who's been at this for 30 years, and I want you to know that you don't have to. Everybody say, "Thank God." You have to be uniquely you. See, I'm not, how can I say this? I'm not being outside of myself. This is me. Sorry, honey. Sorry, Brian, you married into this. But really, I mean, do you understand what I'm saying? I am this way. I don't have to work it up. I love it because it's me. But it's not you, and it doesn't need to be you. In fact, well, I am that way out there, I guess. But you don't need to be. See, and we need to know, and that's the struggle that we have. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And so many times we feel like, well, then I got to fit into this cute little box of whatever, whatever your picture of what a preacher should be. You want to get a good glimpse of what a preacher should look like? Look in a mirror. You have been planted by God in a certain sphere, and you are tailor-made for that sphere, whether it's your neighborhood, your job sphere, your school sphere, whatever it is, that sphere that you're in, and you have a sphere of influence more than you realize. You were tailor-made for it, and it was tailor-made for you, and the only way you can fail is if you just stop being yourself and try to be something else. Just be you. I know, we're getting to the scripture. John chapter 3. But we need to be comfortable with who we are. We need to be comfortable in our own skin. Many times we put our faith into place to being somebody different than we are, and that is misplaced faith. That's not where our faith should be. Don't put your faith on trying to change who you are. That's God's job. And hey, I know you need changing. So do I. But that is God's part. What did David say? "Search me, O God." You search me, Lord. How many of you search yourself? And I know we examine ourselves, but we can get so wrapped up in studying ourselves and studying ourselves and studying ourselves until we talk ourselves out of being convinced that we really are ministers and that we really can do it. Marcy and I are teaching a class in the community, and we entitled it, "You Can Do This." And it's on healing the sick, praying for the sick, and it's on prophesying or prophecy. And it's geared, it's done in the marketplace because we want to Because it's for marketplace. It's not for church. Ministering in the church is so different than ministering out there. And one of the mistakes, I believe, and I'm just beginning to learn this, that I, have, as a pastor, has made over the years, is I have taught how to minister in the church instead of teaching how to minister out there. It's way different. Out there, it's sheep among wolves. In here, it's sheep among sheep and shepherds among sheep. And it's just different. But the whole point is this. The title of the class is, you can do this. And I say to you this morning, you can do what God has called you to do. You can be who God's called you to be. In fact, you were born for it. Let's look at the Gospel of John, chapter 3. Where? First few verses. Let's look at verses 3 through 12. This is the encounter that Jesus had with Nicodemus. Remember, he's a ruler. He comes to Jesus by night, so no one sees him, and says, man, the stuff you do is amazing. No one could do what you do except he was sent from God. And this is Jesus' answer to him, which seems like no answer at all. And Jesus said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Everyone say, the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? And Jesus answered and said, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. Say, the kingdom of God. We're talking about the kingdom of God. Nicodemus asks a question about the works that Jesus is doing. And if you decode the answer, part of Jesus' answer is, this is just the kingdom of God. This is the kingdom. He said to the scribes and the Pharisees, if I cast out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is here. The domain, the king's domain is here. It's not coming in the sweet by and by. It is here. Well, let's read to the end and then we'll preach. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from or where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. How far did I say we were going? 12. Nicodemus answered and said to him, how can these things be? And Jesus answered and said to him, are you a teacher of Israel and you do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you of earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? In the process of answering the question of Nicodemus, Jesus makes an amazing statement. And in his statement, he makes something very clear. The bridge between the kingdom that is in heaven and the kingdom that is in earth is you. You and I are born of the water and we're born of spirit. No other of God's creation is that way. We are born of two realms. You and I can traffic in the spirit and we can traffic on earth. We traffic in both realms. Right here today, you are seated right here. Everyone pat your chair. Yep. You're seated here, but you are even more so seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. You are in two realms right now. And that isn't, when it says that we're seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places, that isn't a cute little ditty. That is a reality that will be more real when you're dead than it is now. I mean, real to you, but it's all, but as real as it's ever going to get now. You are already an eternal being. You already will live forever. You already are experiencing heaven, whether you know it or not. And you are a bridge between the kingdom of God and the kingdom of earth. That is the will of God, on earth as it is in heaven. And so when we talk about being about our Father's business out there, we are simply talking about bringing the life of heaven to earth, bringing the power of heaven to earth, bringing the authority of heaven to earth. That's what we're called to do. Now, in case no pastor has ever told you this, I want to tell you something that I know, and I want you to know that I know, and I apologize for every pastor who doesn't know this. It's way easier to do ministry in here than it is out there. And sometimes I think we pastors put forth a challenge like I'm putting forth to you today, and I make it sound like, just go do it. Right? Jesus sent out the 12, and he sent out the 70, and he said, I send you out as sheep among wolves. And then he added this, be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. And many times in the flow of your day, you are probably more of a minister than you realize, but because it isn't so weird and so flamboyant and so out there, you think, well, it must not be authentic ministry. And I'm here to tell you it is. Because out there, you need to be as wise as a serpent and as harmless as a dove. And nobody can judge what that looks like except you. You are being governed from the inside. And I want to say to you that sometimes you might feel like, well, if so-and-so is here, they would just blow this place up with the power of God. No, they wouldn't. Not if they've got any wisdom. They would probably do just what you're doing. But they couldn't do what you're doing because they're not you. And they would be a foreigner in that sphere. You're not. I believe that some of you are very deliberately being salt and light where you work, where you go to school, where you live. And I'm just here to tell you, keep it up. Amen. See, Jesus said that the preaching of the gospel is like the sowing of seed. You just throw it. In fact, the way in which he told the parable, you don't even really judge the soil in the process of sowing the seed. You just sow the seed. Just sow it. Just sow. Just sow. Just sow. Wherever you go, just preach. Whatever you do in word or in deed, do all to the glory of God. We just sow seed. We just live who we are. We just declare who we are. We declare who our God is. Could it be that simple? Yes. The kingdom of God is as if a man planted a seed and he went to bed by night and arose by day, and how it grows he does not know. But amazingly, all of a sudden, there's a little blade and then a stalk and then an ear and then a full ear of corn, and eventually comes the harvest. Or the kingdom of God is like a woman who hid in 3 measures of meal a little bit of leaven. And over the process of time, that leaven has leavened the whole lump. What am I saying? The gospel and the preaching of the gospel that Jesus preached was a gospel of patience. Some of you may be salesmen, and you know, I guess, if I had to be a salesman, it wouldn't go so good. And I admire people who can sell. But I think you're taught to close the deal. Go for it. You practice phrases, you get into psychology and you convince them, you know, I don't understand at all. But I respect the reality of it. But we must not carry that mentality into the church. When it comes to seeing people come out of darkness into His marvelous light, sometimes it is a process like the sowing of seed and like the hiding of leaven in meal. It takes time. And sometimes you can feel like a failure, because if you were any man of God or any woman of God at all, you'd have had this done a long time ago. Don't be so sure. Quit belly button gazing. Trust God. Trust your spirit. Trust the way and the leading. Because remember, you're born of the Spirit. You're born of God and you're born of the Spirit. And you have this ability to know your sphere. Now, I realize that even as I say this, there are some in this room who have, over the years, chickened out. And you felt prompted of God to do something and you didn't do it. Oh, unbelievable. Like that never happens to pastors in here, in the greenhouse, in the safe place. Like it's never happened to pastors out there among wolves. Yeah, that happens. You know what I've learned? It takes a certain amount of energy and of focus to walk on water. I mean, to go where you've never gone before and to live that life where you're always being stretched and always going bigger and, you know, beyond where you've ever been. And there are those times and those days when it's like, oh, not today, Lord. So you're probably going to get struck by lightning. On your way home. No. I heard that laugh. Oh, too close. We're backing away. We're backing away. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. But probably the most important words to those first few verses of the Lord's Prayer aren't there. And it's why you will not get struck with lightning on your way home. I guarantee it. Our Father, who is in heaven, He's our Father. We're sons, we're daughters. This isn't some performance contest like a sales chart where we're trying to get notches on our belt for soul save or healing people healed. We're about our Father's business and we're working it out as we go. And we have some successes and we have some failures. But one thing does not change. He is our Father. And I believe He would say of you, just as He said of His Son before His Son did one single miracle that we know of, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." And I believe He would say that of you. And sometimes you and I, we beat ourselves up because we just aren't getting it done. Whatever it is. Well, you know, the kingdom stuff. But there's another day and another opportunity.
Yes, thank you, God. Hallelujah.
Well, Pastor, aren't you letting people off the hook? I've never believed in fishing for men with hooks. I believe in fishing for men with nets. Where the body of Christ is linked arms, one with another. And I might not be the one who catches this one, whoever this one is, but there's a big body out there, and there's a big flow out there. We need to rest. And there's a tendency to feel like, oh, yeah, but what? You know what I've learned after 30 years of walking with God? More than that, if you count my teen years of trying to outrun him. I was running with God then. I've learned that it is a long-distance race. It is not a sprint. And it's not about, and this might sound really weird coming from a pastor, but I've learned that it's not about a meeting or one special meeting that's just going to change everything. If I could just preach one message here this morning, that would just change everything. Not going to happen. Because it is not a sprint. It's a long, it isn't even about the meetings we have coming up in May, in and of, all by themselves. But they are significant in helping us move from where we are to where we're going. And there are places in the road where faith is built and where things are established, and it allows us to go further than we've ever gone before. And sometimes it's just a voice behind us, pushing us. I heard a voice behind me saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. Are you sure? Really? But it isn't about the stations along the way, it's about the journey itself. And you and I can rest. In who we are. Thank you. Thank you, Brian. Most assuredly, I say, unless one is born of the water and born of the Spirit, you cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is flesh, and that which is spirit. We are born of the water, and we are born of the Spirit. Now, Jesus was born of the Spirit, but he wasn't born of water until the Immaculate Conception and the virgin birth. And I personally believe the birth was a normal birth. I think it had to be. Because he had to be born of the Spirit and born of water, just like you and I, before he was free to traffic on earth, like he did. He had to come through the same doorway, no pun intended, you did. And you and I are both born of the water and we're born of the Spirit. We're also both born of the natural and born of the Spirit. Now here's what I want us to understand. The effectiveness with which we are able to minister in the kingdom of God is dependent how free we are of our natural birth and how locked in we are with our spiritual birth. We are no longer born of bloodlines or the will of the flesh or the will of man, but we were born of that at one time. I am assuming there are no angels in this room. I'm assuming that we're all human beings. I mean, yeah, Well, there's angels in this room, but no angels sitting in the seats with flesh and blood. If they are, not even this little one here is an angel. Close, but that one might be. If they are, they need to leave soon and go back and check in, because they can't be down here very long without going back. Because they're like fish out of water in this realm. That's why there is a constant exchange of angelic hosts. Remember when Jacob wrestled with the angel said, "Hey, man, you got to let me go. My shift is almost over. I got to get back." Come on. And it's true. But you and I can traffic in this realm really good. And we can flow in the Spirit. And because we're flesh and blood, we can flow in the Spirit without freaking people out. But we are carriers of Him who birthed us. We are born of the Spirit. And we have the presence of God. We have the life of God with us. And we can bring the wisdom of God, the love of God, the grace of God, the message of God, in a very non-threatening way. That's why I say we are the bridge between heaven and earth. And not the only bridge, but we are a bridge. We have the privilege of bringing earth to heaven. We are born of God and we're born of man. We are the Son of God, we're Son of man. Born of the water, born of the Spirit. Seated in heavenly places, seated on the earth. And so we have this unique position. And so when I say that we're not going to see the move of God that we want to see until we move, it's not about God moving. Some minds just went tilt. We need the activity of God, whether it's angelic hosts, whether it's the activity of the Holy Spirit, we need that. But neither the angels nor the Holy Spirit was given the assignment to preach the gospel. Neither the angels nor the Holy Spirit was given the assignment to heal the sick on the earth. Now they assist. But it's our assignment. And the challenge for you and I is to do what we've never done before to get different results. And to step out. And to be who we've never been before. But the tendency is to always spend time trying to be what we already are. You understand what I'm saying? I think John Matthews, a man who ministers throughout the cities and has trained ministers and has a prayer ministry and oversees the ministry in Ukraine. He says it this way: so many people spend their time praying to get into a room they're already in. And many times we are trying so hard to be something we already are. You're it. You're it. And so many times we're trying to build a bridge rather than be one. You are the bridge between God and a lost soul. You are the voice. You are the preacher. You are the one who lays hands on. You are the feet. You're the smile. You're the voice of encouragement. You're the voice of love. If not you, then who? And there are others, but there is not another one like you. And everybody say, thank God. One of me is enough, one of you is enough. It's all the world can handle. Really? Sometimes, well, I won't go there. But the message that we carry and what we transmit as we go about will be based on, are we more in touch with that which is our natural birth or that which is our spiritual birth? Will we be more in touch of being born of water or born of the Spirit? Will we be more in touch with our earthly seat or our heavenly seat? And to the degree that we are in touch with that which is of the Spirit is the degree to which we can give away. And to the degree to which we can minister the things of the Spirit. And so the journey that we're on is the journey of always moving and being moved by God into a greater effectiveness of impacting lives. Sometimes a message like this is hard for us because it's not about us. In fact, the enthusiasm for revival wanes when we realize it's not about us. I've seen it happen. We went through a season, and when I say we, I mean the church at large, have gone through seasons where there's a real run to meetings anywhere, run to revival meetings. If the name of the meeting starts with REV, let's go. But there's only so much reviving that can take place, and then there's a responsibility that comes with the reviving that we've gotten. And that now is time to give it away. In fact, the Saturday night fire meetings that we're doing are totally different in that they are equipping in nature. They are not about, well, they are about getting revived, but they're about getting revived to do the works of revival in our spheres. And we can do this. Paul writes and he says, though those who compare themselves among themselves are not wise. And I want to encourage you as God continues to use you to impact lives out there. Don't compare yourself to anyone else. And I know the Apostle Paul said, look at me as a pattern. And I mean, but the reality is Timothy was not Paul, and Timothy would never be Paul. You are who you uniquely are. And this I do know, you are not defective in being you. We are all growing in our ability to do the things that God has called us to do. Turn with me to Romans chapter 12, and I'm going to close with this. Oh, we didn't take an offering. Oh, sorry. You've got to excuse me, I'm new at this. Something in the back of my mind that kept saying, you're missing something. Romans chapter 12, beginning at verse 1. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Some translations say reasonable worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I recognize this morning that this message stretches us a bit. We'll take an offering in just a bit, Kurt. I'm not sure when. Because some of the things I'm saying stretches us, and what I want us to understand, and this is a process that God has me in right now. What needs to happen is simply a renewing of the mind. We just have to see things different. See, we have a tendency to think that we have to, okay, I got to get better. I got to become a better performer. No. We have to have a mind shift to recognize that we can do this, that we're called to do this. And the impossible part of it, that's God's part. See, that's what we struggle with. If we're really, 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 really honest, we're control freaks. I'll do this, Lord, if I can control every part of it. Not going to happen. That's not faith. I'll walk on water, God, if you show me where the rocks are. My grandson could do that. Better than me. No, that's not faith. And the challenge that you and I have is we need a renewing of the mind to think more spirit and less natural. Be not conformed, we've read it there, be not conformed to the world. I don't believe that's just talking about unrighteousness. It's talking about a whole system of thinking that has no room for the impossible. And so my acts of reasonable service that we talked about in the first verse take on a whole new look because I don't attempt anything that's impossible. Can I ask you a question? When is the last time you attempted something impossible? When is the last time you so put yourself out there that it was like just asking? If you're here this morning, you're saying, boy, this is a different message than I was expecting. Me too. I want to encourage you. You can do this. I want to encourage you. You have what it takes. I want to encourage you that you ought not to be beating yourself up if some things are taking longer than you thought they would. I want to encourage you, if you're that one or that, like me, from time to time has said, God, this is too much work. Go back to that first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies as a living sacrifice. You know, this would be good. This would be easy to do if we were dead. But we're living, aren't we? And it's a living sacrifice. It's sometimes easier to be sacrificed and end up a dead sacrifice. But we are a living sacrifice, and it is our reasonable service or our reasonable worship. In fact, I want to say this. Our obedience to God out there is a higher form of worship than what we experience in here. In fact, for the first 2,000 years, there was no music involved with worship. Worship was labor, or labor was worship. It was a lifestyle. It was how you lived your life, and it still is, by the way. Now, I thank God for worship, music, and I thank God for the worship expression. I thank God for what it does in allowing us to unify, come together under one song, one word at a time on a wall, and magnifying our God together as the body of Christ. But don't discount your worship out there that you do 24/7. It's worship to God. It is your reasonable service. And how do you do it? By the mercies of God. You are men and women who have the ability to give away what you have. Freely you have received, freely give. That's what he said when he sent out the 12. God is not asking anything of you that you don't already have. That part, and there is a part, he does that part. He's asking you of what you do have and what you've been given by him. You will reach people I will never reach. They would look at me cross-eyed. There's no formula. It flows out of relationship. Everyone say this after me. Father God, thank you for the way you made me. Thank you for who I am. I am unique. And I plan on staying that way. By your grace, use me in my uniqueness to touch other people. Amen. Amen. I'm going to ask if the worship team will come on up, and we're going to close with a song. And you want to come on up and take an offering.
Okay, we're living sacrifices, so it's a good time for an offering.
Along to what you're sharing, Torf, it seems applicable. Amen. If not, it's okay.
If you need an envelope,
ministering.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Totally.
Let's do it.
If you want an envelope and don't have one, you can raise your hands, and the ushers will bring you one. And if you want to put your prayer cards or whatever in, whether you used them or not, you could put those in too. What's this? A wave offering. Well, I guess I got to be brave and go in faith. Okay. God put this song in my heart this morning. It's an old song that we used to sing. And so I think Song for the Nation. Yeah, I figured I would be. Anyway, I'm just going to pray. And then while they take the offering, I'm going to just sing this song. And then whatever else you want to do. It's a song for the nations. And it really fits. God knew what he was doing. It's may we be a light to the nations. That's our offering. That's our living sacrifice. That's part of it. So, Lord, this is just a little prayer I used to do in Sunday school, that incorruptible seed. We used to sing this. We used to sing it at offering time when I was in Sunday school, and it's going to be our prayer. Since my Heavenly Father gives me everything, lovingly and gladly, now my gift I bring. So with that, come up and take the offering, and I'm going to sing this. I did that already. I remembered. May we be a shining light to the nations, a shining light to the people of the earth, till the whole world sees the glory of your name. May your pure light shine through us. May we bring a word of hope to the nations, a word of life to the peoples of the earth, till the whole world knows there's salvation in your name. May your mercy flow through us. May we be a healing balm to the nations, a healing balm to the people of the earth, till the whole world knows there is power in your name. May your song be sung through us. May your kingdom come to the nations. Your will be done in the people of the earth, till the whole world knows that Jesus Christ is Lord. May your kingdom come in us. Amen, Lord.
Amen. Casey had a testimony he wanted to share along the lines of what we're talking about. Excellent. That's what it's about right there.
I know many of us have been discouraged over the, you know, year, 10 years, whatever, and I'm one of them. I've just throughout my years probably led 500,000 people to the Lord, but I've never discipled one. And I was just asking the Lord about this whole kind of picture, and he, just to make it simple for us, to unoverwhelm us. I have been asking him, you know, what do I do? And he said, look at this. He said, I already have you discipling your daughter. I already have you rebuilding your relationship with your mom. And this is what he said. And I asked him, I said, and that's all good. And this is what this is how simple we have to remember something. It's not us. It's God. And today, as we were sitting there, I've been praying for a person just to kind of somebody out of my family. And he said to me, love your neighbor as yourself. And we have a next-door neighbor whose his wife's been dead for 5 years or whatever, next-door neighbor. And he said today, this is what the simplicity, if we let God do what he wants to do. He said, are you not making lasagna today? It's like, yep. It's like, we said, well, if there's extra, ask your wife, because she's making it, if I can bring him over a piece of lasagna. And that's it. You know, because the thing is if we trust, this will begin to build a relationship. You know, I'm not, you know, because so many times we've knocked on doors. Hey, you want to come to Jesus and get saved? Burn or turn? You know, whatever the scenario is. But this is the cool thing that he showed me about a month ago, and I've never done the statistics to it to figure it out, but maybe one of you mathematicians. He said approximately there's 100 and some million people who claim to be Christians in the United States. He said if 1/7 of those people would disciple one person a year, and then that person disciple another person, in 7 years, the entire world will have had the opportunity to be discipled. Because like Bob was saying, I can't get to somebody out there, but I can get to my neighbor, and my neighbor can get to the neighbor. So, but somehow we get this overwhelmed thing. Well, there's all these people out here who need to be saved, and so we do nothing. I do nothing. I just sit there and go, but the simplicity of just bringing my neighbor a piece of lasagna.
Father, we just thank you for your kingdom. We ask you to use us to advance your kingdom in our spheres, wherever we work, wherever we play, wherever we rest our head at night, wherever we go to school, whatever sphere we're in. Lord, help us be a voice. Help us be salt. Help us be light. Here a little, there a little. Seed being planted. Seed being watered. That you might bring the increase. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's message from Living Waters Church in Elk River, Minnesota. If you live in or are planning to travel to the Elk River area, we invite you to join us for our Sunday morning worship service at 9:30 a.m. each week. For directions and to learn more about our church, please visit our church website at livingwaterschurchelkriver.org.